today. I'm like, wait, okay.
Y'all forgive me. I should be used to this because usually times when I'm in front of a lot of people, it's because I'm singing. And I really like that better because I get to say what somebody else want me to say and it takes the focus off of me. And you know how the rappers doing stuff. You say this and we say that and all that, you know. But you get everybody else involved except yourself. And this is a challenge for me to really be here and talk about me. Until I could accept that I was an addict, I couldn't get sober. When I was coming up, I always wanted to be a parent because of all the things that I saw around me on TV programs, the Cosby Show, even Leave It to Beaver, all that stuff we watched coming up. It was family orientated. It had a mother and a father. And when I was coming up, my dad used to beat my mom. And my mother said she couldn't take it anymore. And my father had to go. And that was the first diminishing of my dream because my father wasn't there. We were no longer a family. And I grew right then and started having resentments because I hated my mother because she made my father leave. And I don't know, everything in me was saying from then on, I'm going to show her. And I started in different ways. I started trying to show her by my schoolwork. I was an A and B student. I even got out of high school a year early. You know, and none of that mattered. You know, she was still the same moody person. Still always had more stuff for me to do. It was never enough. I always felt like I ain't fit in. She always gave my sister them more attention than she gave me. And that stuff hurt, y'all. It really did. It hurt. And then when I could go outside my home and somebody else embrace me like I get here, but they was embracing me for the wrong reason. See, I ain't know back then that it was about what you had. I ain't learned that people loved you unconditionally until I got here. And I don't know, I proceeded to try to show my mother that I can be somebody whether you think I am or not. And that same hurt feeling that I had of not having a whole family was always in play. And after I went through the getting high and being defiant and, you know, and I'll show her a bit, you know, it just went on and on. By the time I reached high school, I thought I knew some things. She ain't no good anyway, and I had already canceled her out. And what I started doing is getting a closer relationship with my father. When I got old enough, I'm going to back up a little bit, before high school, when I got old enough to catch the bus by myself, I always found out where my father was at. He was always staying with my aunt or over somebody else's house. And it never occurred to me that I loved him unconditionally because my father didn't have anything. Why was he a grown man still always staying with somebody else? But I loved him anyway. But I didn't know that the issues I had with my dad were later on reflecting how my attitude is now with people and with men in my life. Why I can't seem to just be by myself. Or why I allow guys in my relationship to do the things they do to me. Or why I always feel like I got to people please for you to love me. I can't never just be satisfied with who I am. And all these things I'm talking about come from issues that revolve from when I was young. They've been started. And it's learned and developed behavior that I had no idea what to do with. I had no idea that because I set out to show my mom something, that I was going to be somebody who wanted to have some approval from somebody all the rest of my life. And it wasn't until I got here and started doing some step work and started saying, I need to be approval of myself. I don't need somebody else to validate me today. At least that's what I want to think anyway. But my dad, I love my dad so much. And I was thinking that I can always do something to help. Why can't I help the situation? And what I started doing was lowering my expectations of my dad and trying to give more and kind of like pushing the situation. I'm one of them people that try to make it happen instead of letting it happen because, see, I can help God. He's always slow, you know, and I need a little, you know, to give him a little push and let him know this is major stuff here I'm talking about. My dad really needs to be home with us, you know, and I loved him so much unconditionally even though he drank. Even though he molested me. And see, that was a big issue with me because I ain't tell nobody right away. You know, I let the hurt fester. And what my dad did, he never said he was sorry. What he kept doing was buying me things. And that was his way to say, I'm sorry for hurting you. But he couldn't say it because he didn't have a program. And I wouldn't tell my mom because that would be one more reason why she wouldn't love him and she wouldn't let him come back for sure then. So I acted like he was this good guy and tried to point out to her that every time I went to him, see, he bought me this. See, pretending that it was all right from the very beginning. And that's what I do sometimes today. I'll accept things for where they are instead of knowing that I'm God's child and I deserve more. But after I got past the hurt of my father and realizing that my mom ain't going to take him back no matter what I do, you know, I just proceeded to try to live my life. And in doing that, I incorporated God in it, of course. You know, she instilled some values in us. I went to church, you know, and all that good stuff. But church couldn't keep me clean because there was still something on the inside. Those voids weren't being filled. What I was doing was having temporary things fulfilling for long-term pain. And I tell y'all, it was really a journey, trying to always be right. Trying to always be that perfect little girl. My dad used to call me his baby girl. And when he died, I was so hurt. And I couldn't identify with, why would I be feeling this much remorse for somebody who hurt me and did the things that he did to me and didn't care enough about me to put his little pride aside and come and be a family with us. You know, all these things were issues for me. I mean, my sisters and us, when we grew up together, I always felt like I had to compete against my older sister. You know, I was better than her in school. I could sing. I did way more stuff than she did. And why my mother wouldn't acknowledge me like she did her? You know, so I started getting in my mind that, okay, well, they don't want to be a family. I'm going to show them how a family is. And that took me to a vicious cycle of everybody I met, y'all. Check this out. Everybody I met. Once I slept with him, I already said, that's going to be my husband. We're going to have a family. We're going to have some kids and stuff. Everybody. Because I ain't have no substance. I had holes all in my soul and in my spirit that I wanted somebody else to fill because I didn't want to do the work. I didn't want God to come in and clean out all them corners that I was comfortable with. Sure, I swept the middle of the floor, but the corners were still dirty. And I started using people and being manipulative. And I had no idea, but that's what that was. Because I felt like I gave you something. I'm not using you. You only doing what you're supposed to do. I got arrogant. Me, somebody who loved God, so I say, and to do anything for you. But you better bet in the back of my mind, if you tell me no about something, oh, she ain't say that when I gave it to her. Arrogant. Rebellious. Stubborn. You owe me. Because I ain't give myself a chance. You owe me. You living your life. You doing what you want to do for you. But I can't do that for me, so it's your fault. Because I can't let God in and clean my house. You know, my father, I talk about him a lot because I really did love my father. And when he died, he took a part of me with him. And even though I do the step work and all that stuff I recognize and I'm sharing today, it don't stop the pain. And see, that's where the people in the rooms come. That I can always go and tell somebody, and I got people that love me unconditionally, no matter if I keep talking about the same thing all the time. I got to talk about it till I feel good with it. My sponsor, nobody else can't tell me how to feel. And see, that was my problem. I always wanted to be accepted. I wanted you to make me feel what I needed to feel for myself. But I don't know, I moved on. And time went on. And situations presented themselves where I had to grow up or die. And I could feel myself dying. Because my spirit was diminishing every day. I couldn't no longer pretend. I couldn't really be the productive member on my job. I was going just because it was a paycheck. Asked me to do something out of my job description. Are you crazy? Y'all don't pay me that much like they doing me a favor. Still arrogant. I had not a clue that I needed some help. I kept a job. I gave my mother some money when I got paid. All that stuff. And then I went out and proceeded to get high and spend the rest of it on what I wanted. I bought me some clothes and stuff like that. So I was doing okay. I still went to church on Sunday. I wasn't all that bad, y'all. And I don't know. I just started just trying to get with the program of church. That's the first thing I did. I tried to gravitate to church. Started praying more. Made sure I ain't miss church. Started telling my friends I can't go and have with y'all no more and all that. But for real, I ain't let go of nothing. See, if I don't let go of nothing, nothing new can't come in. So even though I stopped for a minute, I went right back to the drawing board because that's where I was comfortable at. Because I ain't had to face no stuff, you know. I don't know. I went on and I met somebody who I thought was really the one, you know. I had a kid, but when I was pregnant, I told myself that I wasn't ready because I had so much baggage and so much hurt that I didn't want to inflict none of that stuff that I had on my child. I thought about what I went through as a kid, and I wouldn't want them to live like that. And my daughter's father got locked up. And here was the cycle going again, y'all, the father gone. Mm-hmm. It can't be a whole family because he ain't here. I can't do this all by myself. And I still proceeded to get high with my baby in my stomach. And by the grace of God, nothing is wrong with my child today. My daughter has been on the honor roll since she's been in school, and she's 12 years old. My son came along. And when my daughter's father left, I still needed something to feel that void. The baby wasn't enough because she can't talk to me. She can't make love to me. She can't make me feel the stuff that I don't feel on my own. And I have to keep giving something to her because I'm a lazy addict, y'all. Damn, why I got to be giving her everything? That mean I got to split half my damn money because she needs some damn Pampers. I was angry. And he was gone. And everything was left on me. My first child, I ain't planning like that. It ain't God's plan for me. It was my plan for me. My will had to be done under all circumstances. And I went ahead and gravitated to somebody else who would validate my sick bull jive. I was getting high, y'all. Hold up, check me out. I was getting high. And in the beginning, it wasn't that bad. And I started thinking I could hustle. I go get my little stuff, y'all, and go out there and do my little thing or whatever. And I used to hang down Southwest. And I was comfortable because I knew people down there. Ain't nobody going to rob me, none of that old stuff, you know. I see this dude, big stocky dude, nice built dude. I'm like, damn, he must be a hustler or something. I go over there and talk to him. How about dude on it worse than I am and just haven't started showing yet? Woo! Lord have mercy, but anyway, me, always selling for less. I talked to him just because how he looked. Had no idea about the baggage he was carrying like I did. And I had a baby with him too. And we're going to be a family on crack. Woo! Thank God for wit, y'all. We had juice and milk and some cheese. And then they was giving out all the food stamps. Who? Oh, we were going to be fine. But until the disease progressed, until I realized that even with him, I was not happy. And I started selling the food stamps.
Yeah.
When I used to go get a package and take one hit and say, this the bomb, it's going to sell, and come back outside and sell it, he used to say, I don't see how you can do it. Because he was further gone than I was. But see, I got to that point. When I said it started out fun, and I got to that point that now when I come in and take a hit and try it, I sit there for the rest of the day. You need to come in the house with me. I'm not standing outside to wait for you to come. If you miss it, you short. You know? And I'm serious, and I paid the consequences too. And when all the money was gone, and I ain't had no money to flip with, guess what I did? Damn. I sold myself. Good God Almighty. That was devastating for me, y'all, to go out and be with people I don't even know. pulled behind school buildings, y'all. You know what I'm saying? And cars. Mm-hmm. I ain't care. Mm-hmm. I ain't care. And guess what? My hygiene got so bad that when my panties was dirty, I just took them off. I ain't even wearing none. I didn't need them anyway because I needed the trip. Yeah. I started wearing more dresses so I can be able to just lift it up, go ahead, hurry up, you know. And I was a petty addict because when you give me my money, I did have a little bit of sense, though. Give my money first.
Yeah.
Give my money. I held it in my hand the whole time while I was doing it. Nope, you ain't taking it back. Don't change your mind, you know. But it was painful. And I had to hurry up and get that hit to take away that pain. And I don't know, after that, I just hit the bottom. The bottom. That's out there in that ocean. The bottom. That's so deep. Ain't nobody even down there. Jaku stole all them, show them damn animal films. Ain't nothing down there. They down too far. Because that's where I was at. It wasn't nothing left. The substance was gone. Bottomless pit. All I could do was pour more stuff on it, and it went down easier because it was so heavy. Yep. And I don't know, I started getting some help when God started helping me because I ain't had no other choice. That the people came and kicked our door in two or three times, and then and the people told us that if they kicked it in one more time, we had to leave. And I know then that was a blessing. I thought they so damn wrong. We paying the rent. They is wrong. But they did that. And God did that for an addict like me. But I couldn't see that then. And when I got out of there, I told myself, I'm going to get some help, and I'm going to show them. I was on a mission. But I hadn't gave up all avenues. I did it good for a while. And then these white people that used to come over our house, no offense to nobody. And they told me another way to do it easier. I don't have to trick, but I can go boost with them. And I went to start boosting with them, and I got incarcerated. And in that time, I stayed up locked up 33 days, y'all. You'd have thought I was dying. I called on every day like a punk. Please! Please! Yeah. You know? And I couldn't get nobody to come and get me. Nobody, because God wanted me to sit still. He had to get my attention. And when I and see the disease so cunning in the bathroom, I don't ever think you got it. Man, he couldn't. God Almighty. I prayed 7 days straight, y'all. The lady gave me this little book saying you pray 7 days straight. Your prayer going to come true and all that. I got in a when you desperate, y'all, you try everything. I ain't lying. Yeah. What can it hurt? I'm just sitting here killing time. Yeah. And three times a day, a ritual, you know. And went on and prayed. And by God, it happened. They gave me a attorney down there. The lady was out on maternity leave, and when she came back, she came and saw me. She said, well, you'll be getting out here Wednesday. I called her and told my mother now, I'll be on Wednesday. How about I got out Tuesday? You know what my disease told me after all that praying? You got one day to get high before they know you out. But I can't control the disease because it been doing push-ups while I was in jail. So I did it one day, and damn right, I got to do it tomorrow. This stuff good. Damn, my sister missed this. But it was so vicious, y'all. And I thank God for my family because they stood behind me no matter what. Thursday, I went to my sister with my legs between my, my tail between my legs and told her, I'm sorry. And I'm going to really get some help. And I went to rap. And after I got out of rap, I cried about my kids so much, y'all. I ain't really want them damn children. I just felt bad and they want my family to talk about me. That's all. Still people pleasing. I did it again. I got high again. And then I went back to rap. Put my pride aside and went back to rap. But when I came out this time, y'all heard something. I felt something. I started getting better. My spirit was starting to heal. And it takes a while. Still stuff come up and it hurts. But anyway, now I got the house, the car, the kids. The man ain't here yet, but he coming. And now the parenting starts. All that doubt and fear I had within myself, God had to remove all that. See, he had to let me go through all that crap, all them prayers are sitting still. Because each prayer, though, it wasn't wasted. Even though I went back out, it wasn't wasted because I got something. I gained a little bit more. But see, now this time I was able to hold on to it. And when I got, you know, with the God of my understanding, with the people in the fellowship, I can be a better mom to my kids. So now today, I have a little bit more to work with. My self-esteem ain't as low. My kids give me more hope and joy than I ever thought of. When I'm going through something, they're the ones who lift me up. How about that? Good God Almighty, God is awesome. And it don't mean that I'm going to be a perfect parent, ever. It don't mean my kids going to forgive me for all that crap they had to go through staying with somebody else. Me going through treatment centers and putting them on hold. Mommy, be back in a minute. Yeah. They heard that all their life. I've been running. But now I can actually stand up to the plate, be the best mom that I can be. And when I fall short, I got sisters in the fellowship who are parents also. And I can go and get some help. I don't have to feel bad about what I did there, because if God forgave me, I need to forgive myself. Your kids going to play on that sometimes and think if they say negative things to you, it's going to make you crumble. Hold up. But sometimes it does. I shared with my sisters this morning that I need to pay my car note. I got the money to pay my car note. But my daughter said she wanted to go shop. She told me, because I've been working two jobs, she told me, I don't even know why I'm really here, because you ain't here. I'm always by myself. And you know what? Part of me that felt the guilt from leaving her all these times. It wasn't nothing I could do about leaving her, because we still got to survive. But I gave her some money. Sure did. Gave her money I didn't even have. I gave it to her. Because I care about what she thinks about me, and I want her to love me. Still, people, please. But it's all right. And God knows my heart. He know where I'm at. And it's always people in my network. I can't forget my network. They are so strong. And the people in my life are doing things with their life. And they helped me along the way. And God always, man, since I've been working these two jobs, I ain't missed a beat. The stuff I didn't have in my house, I have. Bedroom set, living room set. I put some towel on my floor. I'm creative when I want to be. I am. And I don't need nobody to do nothing for me and validate me today. God had to remove everything I thought was important so I can still see. See, tests gonna come the whole time. They gonna come the whole time. When I think I mastered one thing, something else gonna come up that I'm not so good with. I'm uneasy with trying it because I never did it before. And see, until I go through these things, then the man can come, because I still need to clean house. And when I get a man, I don't need to depend on him. I need for him to understand me and me to understand him and for us to grow together. I don't want no relationship like that. I've been through enough of them to see what I want and what I don't want, at least. Yeah. So that's why I say every experience I go through is never wasted, because I got something out of it. You know, and if I had never got high, I probably would never heal like I'm healing today. See, my mom and them, they still got a lot of issues. And I realized that today, that when they started talking like that and stuff, that's not her. She hurt. But she don't have a way to get to the bottom of it. She don't know what's going on. And I thank God I'm blessed today that I have a clue. That don't mean I'm going to still walk the straight line and I'm going to do everything in order the way God wants. Because I'm still selfish, still self-centered, still manipulative. They don't go nowhere. Damn! And I got to keep on looking at them cards of defense. I'm going to try to pick out which ones I hate. The nerve of me. Oh, boy, all the stuff I did to me. You know? But the important thing is that I don't want to do it to my kids today. Mm-hmm. And I can recognize when I'm going down the same path, or I can recognize when the pain could get as great for them as it did for me. And I can do something about it. That's the blessing of this program. So you never be a perfect parent. You do what you can, and you do what God wants you to do. And when I follow His will, it aligns with mine better. I don't have to struggle so much. It's good. It's good in here. I wouldn't give this up for nothing in the world. I wouldn't. I thank y'all for being here. I love y'all, and I'm going to keep coming back.
Thank you very much. We're having a little trouble with this microphone.
It's not cooperating.
He like addicts. He's the fun.
Yeah, well, I'm going to let you. Ooh, look at that. Would everybody please welcome Moselle B.
Hi, family. I'm Moselle, and I'm a grateful recovering addict.
Hey,
day, Moselle.
Good day, stay clean. My clean date is February 10, 1992. And you know, I've been up all night because I'm so wired up. I couldn't sleep. You know what I'm saying? And this is like my ninth convention because I've been here 9 years. You know, I come from a two-parent family. My family wasn't dysfunctional. I was. My mother died when I was 10, and I had no understanding. You know, it was 12 of us. When my mother died, the family split up. I was in three places. In each place I was in, I didn't like where I was. Because I didn't know these people. They were my father people. I did not know them. A lot of stuff went on in them households. And I remember telling myself, if I could have a baby, then somebody could love me. That was my wish, to have a baby so somebody could love me and I can love that child. My first drug was a Colt 45 at the liquor store on Kenilworth Avenue on the Maryland side. So they had two liquor stores, one on the D.C. and one on the Maryland. The one on the D.C. is a laundromat now, but they still got that one on the Maryland side. I was 13 years old. Because I didn't know how to talk about my feelings, I learned how to drink first. Then the drink bought on the marijuana. I had to smoke that 24/7. You know, I had to get high going to school, get high at school, come home from school, because I figured if I did that, I would learn something. The only thing I learned was how to get high and cut a fool. And my disease, I didn't know I had a disease because it was fun getting high. It was fun tripping and talking about people. That stuff was fun. And the disease progressed. I graduated because the marijuana stopped working and I needed something more stronger. So I started shooting drugs. I shot cocaine and I shot Bam together. I was a speed freak. You know what I'm saying? Didn't know that it could kill me, but I used it anyway. And I couldn't understand why people smoke crack. I had no concept. And I said I'd never smoke it. Never say never. Because I started smoking it. At the age of 14, I met this boy in school. He was black. He was fine, y'all, and he was bow-legged. And I said, that's the one. That's going to be my husband. I'm a teenager. Had no guidance. Just on the loose. Looking for somebody to love me. And he loved me. He loved me so much, y'all, that at 15, I got pregnant. Let me back up. I started drinking at 13 and smoking weed. At 15, I got pregnant. I said, I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to smoke cigarettes. I'm not going to smoke no weed. I hadn't gotten to the oiling yet because I wanted a healthy baby. And I did that. I didn't use anything while I was pregnant. And I'm grateful that I didn't do that. But after I had that child, this same man introduced me to the needle. And all he needed to do was show me one time, and then I didn't need his help. You know what I'm saying? And we stayed together. But he had become so possessive that he became abusive. And I remember y'all at 16 being at a girlfriend's party. And this guy came up in there and snatched me up out of that party. Y'all know where Logan Inn is. It's a some house now. It was the Logan Inn. And I remember this man taking me in the alley and whooping my ass and fracturing my jaw at 16. But that didn't stop me. I said, because he loved me. This is what they do when they love me. I didn't know that at the time. And I stayed with this man. Half of the time, he was in jail. He went to jail. The abuse didn't stop there. I was faithfully going there, Lord. Every visiting day. But I was getting abused. Because I thought he loved me. And I had a child, you know. And one day the light came on. I said, shit, this nigga in jail. I got a life to live. I ain't going there, Lord, no more. Because I found somebody else. That I thought loved me. You know, my son, my first son, you know, it was important for me to be home in the morning so my child could see me when he wake up. It was important for me to do that. I would stay out all night long. I would put him to bed and tell my sister I'd be back, but I'd come back in the morning. Because it was important for me to come back so this child could see me. I love my child, you know. But I would take him around his grandmother's house and leave him for 2 weeks. You know, because I had to do my thing. You know, my uses had become more important than my child. You know, when my son was 3, I became pregnant again. I did the same thing. I said, I'm not going to use, not going to drink, not going to drug, not going to do none of that stuff, smoke cigarettes, because I want to help the baby. I had another boy. Same thing. And I remember bringing men home, sleeping with them in the same bed with my son. And then when my son wake up, I would put my hand over his eyes so he wouldn't see what I was doing. I did that, you know. But I love my children. I would kill for them. You know what I'm saying? Through the grace of God, the city didn't take my children. You know what I'm saying? I was always active in their life before my addiction went out there. I participated in their schoolwork. I went to the PTA meetings. I went on the school trips. I liked it to go on the school trips because we had fun. Because I'd be high. You know what I'm saying? I did those things. My son, my oldest son is 25. I saw him graduate from high school. I didn't know that my addiction had affected them because they didn't show it. They didn't call me a crackhead. They didn't say my mama do this and do that. Well, I never heard them say it. They might have said it to somebody else, but I never heard them say it. You know, I have a 21-year-old now. He still live with me, y'all. I wish he'd go away. Came in recovery. I knew how to be a mother. but I didn't know how to be a parent. It's a difference. Anybody could be a mother or father, but it takes a lot to be a parent. Because when you're a parent, you got to be actively involved in your child's life. And if your child ain't with you, you're not actively involved in their life. You know what I'm saying? I am actively involved in my children's life today. They grown. Mind you, after I got here, y'all, my son, which is 21 now, he was 18 at the time, I became pregnant. After 18 years, I have a 3-year-old son. Yeah. And it's like starting all over again. It's teaching me to be more patient and more tolerant because he's 3. And sometimes he act like he's 30. And I used to holler at my children because I got hollered at. And with the help of people in my network and my sponsor, they have taught me how to talk to my child opposed to hollering at them. Because when you holler at a child, they only rebel. You know what I'm saying? I talked to my sons today, you know, but this 3-year-old, that's my miracle baby. Because mind you, I'm a woman standing here living with the virus. And I became pregnant. And people was talking. People going to talk anyway. But that's their stuff. And they were saying stuff like, don't she have the virus? Why she having a baby? I ain't paying no mind. Because I know who's who. I know who got me. I know who had me when I was carrying that child. And I didn't have no fear. Because I prayed. And I took care of myself. I took my medicine when they told me to take it. My son was born October the 20th. He weighed 7 pounds and 2 ounces. And don't have the virus. What am I doing? And he's a blessing in my life. Because you know what? He teaches me how to be patient and tolerant. And sometimes I ain't always there. Sometimes I want to throw his little ass out the house. You know what I'm saying? He got so near, he'd be like, Mommy, come here, I got to tell you something. And want me to be there, like, right now. He told me the other day, leave me alone. I said, okay. I'm going to leave you alone. But come in for a minute. This little boy brings so much joy in my life. The joy I get from this little child is that today I'm clean. Today I could spend that quality time with him that I couldn't do with them other two. It gives me great joy to be able to get up in the morning, y'all, not come to. Dress this little guy. And we have conversations. Deep conversations. Sometimes I'll be like, you been here before? And we walk to school. And we just be talking. And I take him to school, and he don't cry when I leave. And I pick him up from school. I help, he's 3 in Head Start. They give him homework. Whole lot of shit. For the whole week. And he be like, I gotta do my homework. But I help him. You know, I did those things with them other two boys till my addiction got a grip on me. And I couldn't do that no more. You know, I am a parent today. You know, I participate in his school. They made me a policy council rep for the Head Start program at his elementary school. You know what I'm saying? Where I go every third Monday over on Alabama Avenue to the church to represent this school. You know what I'm saying? I like that. I like that. You know, my children don't say what to me today. My children don't say huh to me today. I hate that. My children say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. You know what I'm saying? My mother raised me that way, and I never lost that. You know what I'm saying? So I teach my children the same thing. Let me talk about my oldest son. I didn't know that he was doing the things that he was doing, because my son was in the life, y'all. And I was not aware because I was too busy doing my own thing. And I remember he had got locked up down in Manassas. They took him to Roanoke, Christianburg. I said, well, you'll be there because I ain't come to get you. You know, and I didn't go get him. And I was using. I ain't have time. You stay there. Maybe you'll learn a lesson. I was here in 1994, and something happened. I thank God I was here when this event happened, because when I got back home, I was told that my oldest son had gotten shot in the midst of committing a robbery with a toy pistol. He robbed two off-duty D.C. police officers on Marlboro Pike in front of Eddie's, and they shot him. They tried to kill him, but God didn't have it that way. When I got home and they told me that my son had gotten shot, it hurt it so bad. And I wanted to use. And I called my sponsor and I told him, if you don't come and get me, I'm going out of here. Every day that my son was in the hospital, I was there. I went through a whole lot of stuff, y'all, because this happened in PG County, and they don't play. They prejudiced. They told me I couldn't see my son in the hospital. He was in ICU, hooked up with all these tools and stuff. They told me I couldn't see my son. I told them they was crazy. They told me I had to go to the Upper Marlboro Detention Center to get a pass to see my son. I did that. They still told me I couldn't see my son. I said, y'all tripping. Do y'all know who I am? Y'all really don't know who y'all messing with. I called the colonel, and he told me I couldn't see my son. And I couldn't understand why these people kept telling me I couldn't see my son. I'm like, I'm his mother. I told him, I said, you know what? I know somebody higher than you, and I'm going to see my son. And I called on God. And I was in a meeting, y'all, and I was sharing, because I was hurting so bad, and a few people in here know what I went through. And this guy, I ain't know this guy, never seen him, never heard about him or nothing. He called me outside. He said, I can help you. Because I had to get a lawyer. I ain't had no money. He got me a lawyer, y'all. one of the best law firms in D.C., Covington and Burlington. And we had to get a court order for me to go see my son in the hospital. And I sat in that courtroom, and I prayed, and I just said a serenity prayer. In 2 minutes, I was granted that order. And I went to that hospital, and I said, y'all can't touch me. I'm a child of God today. Always have been, but just didn't know it. And I saw my son. Every day my son was in ICU, I was there. It was important for me to be there. And as my son recovered from that gunshot wound, I recovered too. It made me stronger. And it made me realize that I must be there for my children. No matter what they do or what they go through, I must be there. And I say that because my father was always there for me. He would put me out. But each time I wanted to come back home, he opened the door. I have a 21-year-old son. I ain't got no job. I got to live there too. If I stop paying the rent because I want my son out of my house, they're going to put me out too. I'm a provider today. I'm also a single parent. Have been for a long time, you know, and I'm okay with it because I take care of my children today. You know what I'm saying? Because I take care of me. I can't take care of my children if I can't take care of myself. You know what I'm saying? I love my children unconditionally today. We have a relationship where I can share everything with them. I don't hold no secrets. None. My sons know everything about me. My 3-year-old looked at my arm and he said, Mommy, what's that? I said, I used to shoot drugs. Whether he understood it or not, I told him. And I tell them the truth. Because I used to lie to them. I used to say, I'll be back. I bring you this back. And I never got it. And they would remind me. And today, all those things I did in my addiction, we laugh about it. But the shit is funny now. It wasn't funny then. You know what I'm saying? This is so good. It is so good, y'all. And for those who have children, love your children, man. Love them. Hug them. Tell them every day that you love them. Because if we can hug folk in here, we can hug our children. If we can tell folk in here that we love them unconditionally, we can tell our children. You know what I'm saying? I hug my children all the time. I tell them I love them. And I'm soft, y'all. I try to play hard with my children, but I'm really soft. Because that 21-year-old, he be like, Mom, you got a quarter. What you going to do with a quarter? So now when he said, Mom, you got a quarter, I said, you got a quarter? He said, no. I said, okay. I ain't got one either. But I be having it. Then he'll come with, like, before I came up here, he like, I gave him $10 Friday. Because he helps me out. I go to school today. And he picks his brother up from school, while I'm in school. So I give him something. I give him something. I ain't paying him, I just give him something. I gave him $10 Thursday. So Friday, when I got ready to come up here, he said, Ma, you got to leave me some money. I said, I gave you $10 Friday. What you do with it? Oh, I bought a T-shirt and a pack of cigarettes. I said, I ain't got no money. But I had some money. But I gave him $20. You know what I'm saying? I take care of my children today. You know, I thank God for Narcotics Anonymous and the other fellowship that put me back together to allow me to be a parent today. I'm not just a mother. I am a parent to my children. I'm not just a parent. I'm a friend also. You know what I'm saying? I love my children. I would kill for them. You know what I'm saying? If you hurt my child, program go out the window. Just that simple. Ain't going to be no some humility and all that stuff. First, I'm going to ask you why you did what you did. Then if you don't give me a good reason why you did what you did, then it's on. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to share this and then I'm going to let it go. I'm a single parent. I'm a single woman. And I'm okay with it. My oldest son always say, Ma, whatever man come in your life, they got to present a resume. I just look at them. My three-year-old, we was coming from the Giant. I had three bags, and I needed some help. The guy offered to help bring my bags home. The guy picked the bag up. My son said, put it down. The three-year-old. The guy put the bag down. He said, he told me put it there. I said, DeAndre, we need some help. You can't carry the bag. The guy was only trying to help us. He wasn't having it. Very, very protective of his mother. And women, if you have sons, they are protective of their mothers. You know what I'm saying? I thank God for that. You know what I'm saying? I think, but see, I tell my children, I can handle myself. I come from the hood. I was a hood rat. I was one of the guys. I was thorough when I was on the street. I'm not all that thorough today, but I can take care of me. You know what I'm saying? I love this program, y'all. I've been up all night, trying to go to sleep, but couldn't. And I'm going to tell you what I feel like. I feel like I have been smoking crack all night long. Really. Because I tried to go to sleep, and I just couldn't. Too hyped up. I love this program. I love you people. You know what I'm saying? And I'm definitely going to keep coming back.
Yes.